fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, and Christopher Hart. The American Adversaries, Drive Time.
Yeah, you know it's bad when your own military chief slams your program against, dare I say, Islamic terrorists. Obama's former top serviceman, Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, has declared his former boss's current position as paralyzed. Paralyzed. Yeah, we really need that in a president. But we really do need the American Adversaries at Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer with me, Lair Adams, and our host, Christopher Hart.
All right, what do you expect from a man whose brain is paralyzed? But that's not what you get around here, folks. That's why you listen to the American Adversaries in Drive Time on AM 660 The Answer, as we once again come to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And please don't forget, for the best in mercury-free dentistry, call my dentist, Dr. James E. Hardy, at 407-678-3399. And don't forget to ask him about his great book, Mercury Free. All right, and you'll find out why dentists have such a high suicide rate, or at least used to anyway. All right, wow. We got a big show lined up for you tonight. That is Lair Adams back in voice tonight and in the saddle. And I, of course, am Christopher Hart. And in the studio with us, we have our great friend and sponsor, Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections, now CMI. You're going to have some new cards printed up, Aubrey Kahn.
Hi, everybody. Good to be here.
CMI, aren't you one of those guys that you investigate, you know, crime scenes and
individuals?
He is an investigator of sorts because he is a home inspector.
He's an inspector.
That's right. Inspector Kahn. All right. We also have in the studio with us Steve Gushov, who's an attorney, and he, of course, works at the Liberty Council. Steve, thank you for being with us today.
How you doing, Chris? It's always a pleasure to be here.
All right. And we're going to be talking law with him tonight, not the Patriots.
That would be tie law.
There you go. All right. But anyway, we might talk a little football because Steve's from Bastantown, right?
I'm going to be up there on Friday where the high is supposed to be 1 degree on Friday. So Floridians, quit complaining when it's 60 degrees out.
Didn't you hear that it's the warmest year on record? I mean, what are you complaining
exactly,
about?
Yeah, positively tropical.
Nostra Dennis will be joining us shortly. Nick LoCicero is once again on the bridge, so we're in good hands. And you folks can give us a call at any time at 407-774-8255. And even though Lucas Paris is not here tonight, so we're not up on the head cam, I can assure you that none of us are wearing headscarves either. We're standing in unison with the First Lady for women's rights in Saudi Arabia. I mean, what the heck? They are taking the price of oil. We could have the First Lady a tool around town with no headscarf.
Didn't like her.
You said Condoleezza Rice was the same, bareheaded.
Chris, I'm just feeling my heart is a little faint to hear those words that we're standing together with First Lady Michelle Obama. That's a first, and I may keel over. I don't know if there'll ever be a second, but you're right. Condoleezza Rice didn't wear anything either, any head coverings, and no one's really covering that story.
Yeah, well, certainly the First Lady got some attention, and I'm not so sure it's the kind that President Obama wanted her to get. But cheers for the First Lady.
Well, let me ask you guys this. Do you know if Maggie Thatcher had ever met with anyone in that situation, because I cannot imagine Maggie Thatcher wearing anything on her head to appease another country. That woman was iron.
No, I don't think she would either.
Yeah.
But I have a question for you.
What's that?
There's video of that meeting, and they've got Michelle's face blurred out. Why was that?
Who blurred it out?
Apparently, the Saudi television.
Al Jazeera.
Oh, because she wasn't covered.
Well, because of that, it wasn't because of her looks. I don't know.
Actually, it was probably because she's a woman. And
yeah, because the new Saudi king wouldn't shake her hand either.
Yeah. And so it's the new Saudi king who probably won't be around very long.
Isn't this? Yeah, but she's married to the president that bows to everybody. Well, so they just nodded their head to her. It was like, hey, we just gave you what your old man gives us.
Yeah, but you know, she's got more backbone than he does.
Well, I was going to say, I'm surprised he wasn't wearing the headscarf.
Yeah, we know who wears the headscarf for that family, right?
You'd have to get a big one, though, to cover up their big old ears, I'll tell you what. All right. First of all, there has been another terrorist attack, this time in Libya. And Libya, I guess, was supposed to be a success story in the Obama-Clinton, you know, tandem there.
Oh, like Yemen, yeah.
Yeah, and this was at a luxury hotel. There was, I think, a couple of dozen people killed, 9 people, and one was an American. And the ISIS, now there are worries that this group ISIS, or whatever you want to call them, is
spreading. The JV team?
Yeah, the JV team is spreading its influence across Africa. Of course, we know, even if it isn't them, it's Boko Haram or some other, you know, group with some hate-filled name in North and now in Central Africa. Aubrey, is there any chance of this all moving to finally to South Africa, all the way to the bottom of the continent?
Let's look at history. The southern part of Africa was never black or African-American. It was a group of tribes known as Bushmen, all right? And the black marauders came down from the north, and they worked their way down until they conquered these peace-loving people. And what are the chances of that happening with the Muslims? It's a good chance because South Africa is now anti-Semitic. So they're all pro-Muslim. There's a good chance.
Wow. So, you know, and there's Obama sitting idly by, essentially doing nothing, as the general said.
Well, he's actually not doing nothing. There was also another report today that he strongly opposed Israel arming the Nigerian army, sending arms to Nigeria to arm the Nigerian military to fight against Boko Haram. So which side is he on?
Well, I think it's becoming more and more clear, not the right side anyway, by hook or crook or stupidity.
He is on the left, right?
Yeah. So Steve, you don't mean the guy.
So he's on the wrong side.
The guy that's complaining to Jordan for a one-on-one prisoner swap when we gave 5, or what, 6 prisoners?
Five for a deserter.
5 for one special.
For a deserter, yeah.
For a deserter. Well, obviously, the Jordanians are not giving enough.
I was going to say, exactly.
Yeah, I should give him money besides
three or four prisoners. Yeah, exactly.
And a terrorist to be named later.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, did you hear the reason behind that? That they gave is that why it was okay for them to give 5 for one and it's bad for Jordan to do 1 for one? Well, when we gave them up, it was towards the end of the war, and everybody knows when it's the end of the war, you swap out prisoners.
All right.
And so then, the war hasn't stopped yet.
No.
Oh, no in our eyes.
Yeah, well, that's part of the problem, is that this administration has never recognized the situation that we're in. We're in a world war, whether we like it or not. It's been going on really since 9/11, 2001, and George Bush only gave it, not the full explanation that it called for. And he was too tepid about describing the enemy and too quick to defend those who were indefensible. And now this administration just ignores the problem altogether. And meanwhile, there's a lot of stuff going on back home here. And that's why we have Steve Gushov in the studio today. Of course, he's with the Liberty Council, and you can find the Liberty Council at lc.org, isn't it?
Yes, lc.org.
Yep, lc.org. And before we get into some court cases, they got a great event coming up that we were able to go to last year. It's called The Awakening. This is going to be The Awakening 2015, titled Rebuilding the Wall. It's March the 14th. From 8:30 in the morning till 5 p.m. Steve, tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, we are very excited. This is our large national event. It's called The Awakening 2015, Rebuilding the Wall. It's going to be Saturday, March 14th, 2015, from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Faith Assembly, which is right over at 9307 Curry Ford Road in Orlando. And we are very excited because Governor Mike Huckabee and Senator Rick Santorum are going to be the two featured speakers at the event. So, again, if you want to hear Mike Huckabee, Governor Mike Huckabee, and Senator Rick Santorum live in person in Orlando, come to the Awakening 2015, Rebuilding the Wall, Saturday, March 14th, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Faith Assembly in Orlando. For more information and to buy tickets, just go on to lc.org. Just go right onto our website. You'll get a link to buy tickets. And tickets are going fast. We also have exhibitor space for any conservative Tea Party groups or church groups or organizations that might want to be exhibitors or sponsors. But if you want tickets, lc.org. Tickets are going fast because it's Huckabee and Santorum. They're both going to be running for president. And it's exciting.
Yeah, but you've got other big talent on here too, Steve.
Yeah, well, first of all, how much are the tickets?
Tickets are $20. And
$20
can go right online and order them right online. We're going to
Can people get them at the door?
Yeah, as well. But, you know, if we sell out, we sell out. So you might not want to wait till the morning.
It's awful cheap to find.
We strongly advise people to go online right now and order them, lc.org. In addition to Governor Huckabee and Senator Santorum, of course, Matt Staver, our founder and chairman, will be speaking. We're also going to have the Reverend James Robison will be speaking. Many people are with him and watch his televangelism ministry as well. Some other folks, we're going to have Frank Gaffney will be there as well. And Kamal Saleem. Kamal Saleem was a child Islamic terrorist in Lebanon when he was a child, grew up, became a Christian, and now speaks at churches and conservative events all across the nation to warn Americans about the danger of Islam and terrorism. And he is fantastic. He spoke at our event in 2013.
I'm sure he has
a
follow-up.
He will be there as well. Oh, he's got more than one. Yeah, I think he's got about seven on him right now.
And, Aubrey, you saw Pastor Robinson in South Africa.
Yeah, James Robinson, great, great preacher.
I've heard him before,
too. Love the man. He was in our church in South Africa over in Johannesburg.
In addition to the speakers, the featured speakers, we're also going to be having several breakout sessions during the day as well. I know, for instance, that State Rep. Jennifer Sullivan will be leading a breakout session for the millennials. And she's, of course, you know, the youngest elected state rep right from District 31. She'll be one of the speakers at one of the breakout sessions. And so we're going to have breakout sessions on the culture wars we're going through, the danger of radical Islam, and all the different issues and cases that we fight at Liberty Council. So, again, go on to lc.org if you want to hear Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum live on March 14th at Faith Assembly, The Awakening 2015.
Okay, folks, don't go away. We're just getting rolling, so we'll be right back.
Gotta keep them separated.
All right, yeah, look at Aubrey Conn over there doing the moonwalk.
He doesn't look like Michael Jackson.
I'm not even going there.
Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. That is Aubrey Conn in the studio with us, along with Steve Gushov of the Liberty Council. And while we have Steve here, I want to talk to him about some of the big court cases that are going on right now at the Supreme Court. Most of the big cases are still going on. The court is working on them. And, of course, the big one is the same-sex marriage case. First of all, the Supreme Court finally decided to take the case, quote-unquote. Please tell us about the case or cases that they did take, and what are the issues that are in question?
Yeah, basically what's going to be happening is in April, the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, will be hearing their case concerning same-sex marriage. And there'll probably be a decision rendered at the end of June. And the first thing I want to tell people is that they have to pray every day and every night for every single justice, that these justices do the right thing and render a decision that's honoring to God. Now, the reason it's at the Supreme Court is partially based on a case that we at Liberty Council were involved in, because what they're doing is the Supreme Court basically has agreed to review a federal appeals court decision that did uphold natural marriage laws in Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
Okay, now real quick, what is natural marriage laws?
One man, one woman.
Okay.
One man, one woman.
All right, just
wanted
to be clear about that.
Natural marriage is what God intended it to be.
All right.
And so we were involved in that case. Liberty Counsel filed an amicus brief at the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals on behalf of the American Family Association of Michigan. I'm sure a lot of people are familiar with AFA. They were one of the co-authors of the Michigan Marriage Amendment, just like we have a Florida Marriage Amendment, which has been tossed in the trash can by a lot of activist judges down here. Same problem in Michigan. And so in that Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, that court ruled that a law defining marriage as one man and one woman, natural marriage, did not violate the United States Constitution. Now, of course, there have been other courts of appeal across the nation that have said the reverse. So the Supreme Court is hearing this case because you have this discrepancy where you have the Sixth Circuit basically saying it's fine, a state can do what they want in terms of defining, you know, marriage as one man, one woman, and other courts saying, no, that's unconstitutional. Because you have that battle, that discrepancy, the Supreme Court is supposed to be the referee now. They're supposed to make the final
right.
decision.
Okay. Let me ask you a couple of quick questions. One, where is the Sixth Circuit Court?
Well, that covers the states that I mentioned, Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, and Tennessee.
All right.
The Sixth Circuit.
Also, can we read in anything into this that the Supreme Court is taking a case that upholds natural marriage laws as opposed to a Supreme Court case that would have, I mean, a lower court case that would have overturned those laws, like, say, what's happened here in Florida or elsewhere?
Not necessarily. I think the bigger issue beyond that is that is the degree of partiality by two of the Supreme Court justices. That's the biggest issue and the biggest problem right now.
What do you
You've
mean by that?
You've got nine justices on the Supreme Court. Two of the justices, Elena Kagan and Ruth Bader Ginsburg, have both already officiated at same-sex marriage ceremonies. So you have two justices who are already in the bag in favor of same-sex marriage.
Should they recuse themselves?
Well, here's the thing.
But can they be forced?
They cannot be forced. Title 28, Section 455 of the U.S. Code says any justice, judge, or magistrate judge of the United States shall disqualify himself or herself in any proceeding in which his impartiality might reasonably be questioned. That's clearly the case, but they have to make that decision themselves. And I will implore people who are listening right now to call the Supreme Court and publicly urge Justices Kagan and Ginsburg to properly and legally recuse themselves from these cases because they're showing that they're already partial to favoring same-sex marriage.
Well, Larry wants to ask a question, but since you said call the Supreme Court, do you have their phone number?
I don't have it. You can just go online and call your members of Congress as well to get them to put pressure on. Look, Kagan performed a September 21st same-sex marriage for her former law clerk, someone named Mitchell Reich, and his partner in Maryland, and Ginsburg performed a same-sex marriage ceremony at the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts, of all places, in August of 2013.
Right. Yeah.
So they're biased already. There is no way that they should be hearing this case. Now, here's the thing. Right now, if you look at the makeup of the Supreme Court, it looks like it's about 4-4 in terms of four justices on the left who probably are pro-same-sex marriages, four on the right who are anti, and you have Kennedy who's the deciding vote. Kennedy has been very positive in his statements, unfortunately, concerning same-sex marriage, if you go back to the DOMA case in 2013.
Right.
But at the same time, he has also been favorable towards states' rights, and this is a states' rights issue. The people of Florida or Michigan or any state should have the right to determine what is marriage in their state. And so if you knock out these two liberal justices, all of a sudden it's four justices against same-sex marriage, two in favor, one, you know, who knows, but, you know, victory is assured then.
Okay, now, Steve, here's my question on this. Now, automatically, if they decide marriage is not between one man and one woman, that automatically sets up the allowance for polygamy, doesn't it?
It sets up allowance for anything. For, you know, polygamists are among those who are happiest about this fight.
So it's like you can't even make that a separate case. Once they say that this isn't it, automatically they've given tacit approval for polygamy.
Look, let's look at the argument.
Of course, I would argue different, but go ahead.
Let's look at the argument that same-sex marriage proponents make. They say, look, we're adults. We're consenting. We love each other. We should be allowed to get married. Okay, if that's your argument, for same-sex couples to get married, and that's what the argument is, then what about polygamous? If you don't have two people involved, but you have 3, 4, 5, 10, or 20, and they say, look, we're all consenting adults. We love each other. We should be allowed to get married. Intellectually and legally, you have to allow that as well. Same thing for adults involved in incestuous relationships.
Yes.
Let's say you have a brother and sister. We're adults. We love each other. We're consenting. We should be allowed to get married. As soon as you make this, as soon as you define marriage as anything outside of one man and one woman, then you have the slippery slope and anything goes. So you watch.
Yeah.
If the Supreme Court does the wrong thing next June and issues a disastrous decision, then you're going to have the polygamist charging right up to the Supreme Court, adults involved in incestuous relationships, and whatever else you can think of. It's going to be anything goes.
I would suspect that they will try to craft a decision in as narrow a way as possible to try to prevent that.
But I can't see it.
And by the way, we did a story, I think, last week or the week before, Nostra Dennis had a story of a woman who wanted to marry her father.
Yes.
Did you see that, Aubrey?
I was reading about it last night. Yeah, and they want to have children.
How about that? You know, and there are reasons why you don't have incestuous relationships. And by the way, they have virtually that in Islamic societies where you are allowed to marry your first cousins. And I don't know. I've heard rumor, but I would really like to see the statistics that evidently they have a high degree of birth problems because of that.
Well, of course. Yes. That's why you don't.
And so, I mean, there are natural reasons why. Now, I want to go back. We only have 40 seconds, and we have to take a hard break. But I want to go to the constitutional issue that's the constitutional issue that's at stake here, if you will. Okay, because there must be a constitutional statute or principle that they're arguing for or against. So when we come back, we'll take that up with Steve Gushoff and you if you'd like to be a part of the show at 407-774-8255. Nostra Dennis will be joining us. You got Aubrey Kahn, Larry Adams back in the saddle.
Well, yeah, and I can sort of talk. Actually, I feel much better. Thank you, folks, for the
you must have been using the Roxy Pacifics.
It was Roxy. That's really the only thing I used, and it's been wonderful. You need it, too.
Here is tonight's American Adversaries Soundbite RX News Minute. SoundbiteRx.com, a great way to be better informed. Today's Soundbite RX News Minute is brought to you by My Liberty Threads. American made, America proud. MyLibertyThreads.com.
Welcome to SoundbiteRx.com, folks. SoundbiteRx.com minute. You are listening to Christopher Hart tear up the opening to this segment of the show. But let me give you a little taste of the medicine you'll find brand new there today. Boy, this Pope, you know, he's like a yo-yo or hot and cold. One day he's cold, the next day he's hot. Now he's saying he does not want, and I quote, wimpy Christians. You'll find that story brand new today at SoundbiteRx.com. Also, you'll find about the Argentinian prosecutor, Rouhani, who was involved in an Israeli terrorist attack. That story down in Argentina is getting just deeper and deeper. You know, it's kind of like the Condor movie with old... I forget the fellow's name. Anyway, CBS reporter says Obama administration does not know what's going on. Now, where have you been hearing that over and over and over again? That's right, folks, right here on the American Adversaries. Also, Obama chewing gum in India, another embarrassing display. It's an insult over there. Why is he chewing that gum? It must be that Nicorette stuff. That's right, folks, he has not given up cigarettes, and he's not giving up being a liberal, which makes him doubly dangerous. That's right, folks. We get the secondhand smoke and the secondhand ideas. Don't forget, soundbiterx.com. It's good medicine. We'll be right back. That's right. Lair, Chris, Nostra Dennis will be joining us in just a moment. Aubrey Kahn is in the studio. Of course, Aubrey's with Firm Foundation Home Inspections, and he's a CMI, which now means he's a Certified Master Inspector. So, hey, if you need a home inspection, if you're buying or selling a property or investing in a property or have put on a new roof anytime in the past, you need to talk to Aubrey Kahn. He can either save you money on that purchase or the sale of your house by pointing out what's going to be a problem with the sale, or he can save you money on your homeowner's insurance by getting a wind mitigation inspection. And Aubrey's phone number is 321-624-0254. That's 321-624-0254. Or you can just come over to Cafe Positano tonight and have dinner with us and meet him there.
Yeah, I'll have my yellow notepad and we can take appointments.
But he won't buy you dinner.
All right. Thanks for being here, Aubrey. And, of course, we have Steve Gushov of the Liberty Council. Real quickly, their yearly awakening event is coming up. It's going to be March 14th. That's a Saturday, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And it's going to be at the Faith Assembly Church at 9307 Curry Ford Road. Just go to lc.org to find out about tickets. They're only $20 a piece. If you're interested in the GOP primary, at least two of the candidates that are sure to be involved, Mike Huckabee, Governor Huckabee, and Senator Rick Santorum are going to be featured speakers there, along with Matt Staver, the founder of Liberty Council, and James Robinson, Pastor Robinson. Of course, if you keep up with evangelists, you know who he is. I'm not familiar with Gail McWilliams and Janet Boynes. Is that the way you pronounce her name?
Two of the other speakers, yeah. Gail McWilliams is an evangelist. She's blind, actually, and so she has a wonderful story that she will be sharing with all of us at the Awakening. And Janet Boynes is an African-American woman who was involved in same-sex relationships a while back, became a Christian, and now has a ministry which counsels those who are involved in same-sex relationships. And so she's a Christian, an ex-lesbian who is now a Christian, and she ministers to those who are struggling in same-sex relationships. Very powerful story. So they'll be at the Awakening as well.
And Kamal Saleem, who was, as a youngster, was a terrorist.
Ex-child terrorist.
Trained as a terrorist. And Frank Gaffney.
Yes.
And so it's a great lineup. Please join us there. I know I'll be there that day. I'm pretty sure Carl Jackson and his team will be there that day. So come on out and join us. LC.org is where you get the tickets, $20 each. And as Steve said, they're going fast. So you better get on the ball and get them. The issue that I wanted to raise with you before the break is, what is the constitutional principle that's being argued in this same-sex marriage case that the Supreme Court has decided to address?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to give you the short answer, but then I'll elaborate on it. There is no issue is the issue. There is no issue.
Sort of like Roe v. Wade.
Exactly. Well, very similar. Here's the thing. Same-sex marriage proponents are complaining that this is an equal protection issue. Oh, you know, if we want to have a same-sex marriage ceremony, you know, we are not equally protected under the Constitution the same way that heterosexual couples are. It's an equal protection issue. Here's the problem that they have. Now, unfortunately, you get a lot of liberal activist judges all across the nation, in both state and federal courts, who are just slamming this through for political reasons. But the problem is, and this was addressed by the Sixth Circuit in the correct opinion that they gave, is that the states are the ones that have the rights to set standards for marriage. Marriage is not defined in the United States Constitution. This is not a federal constitutional issue. We've been arguing that in Florida and all across the nation.
Well, Nostradamus has a case in Alabama that he's going to bring in just a second. But just for sake of argument, let's say that a state passed a state constitutional amendment that said that only whites could marry whites and blacks could marry blacks. Couldn't the same argument that the people who are arguing for gay marriage be made for that?
Not necessarily, because that's a civil rights issue in terms of it gets into racial issues, and this is not a civil rights issue.
What about religious? Say only Christians can marry Christians and only Muslims can marry Muslims.
Well, again, there are certain religious freedoms that are protected by the Constitution.
These are specified in the Constitution protections.
There's a freedom of religion in the Constitution. We all know that.
Right.
And we also know about civil rights protection. So you couldn't do anything that was racially discriminatory in that regard. Same-sex marriage is not a civil rights issue.
Okay. Real quickly, and then I want to go to Nostradamus. Would perhaps the proper approach, if gay couples wanted to ensure that they could do this, would that have been to pursue a constitutional amendment allowing it?
Well, yeah. At Liberty Council, we have always been in favor of a federal marriage amendment. I know that Senator Ted Cruz in Texas,
which would not allow same-sex.
Correct, yeah. A federal marriage amendment would state that marriage is one man, one woman across the board in all 50 states, period, end of argument. Senator Cruz approves of it. I know that Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal does as well, and Senator Tim Huelskamp, he's a Republican in Kansas, he has also sponsored this as well. And so we strongly support that. And I want to say something, too, is, you know, we're going to have Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum at the Awakening. And for all of you who are listening who are conservatives, and you know that the presidential, you know, campaign for 2016 has started, you really need to pay attention to what the different prospective candidates are saying with regards to this issue. There are some who are very good on this issue, very strong. Mike Huckabee is very strong on this. Governor Rick Perry of Texas is great.
What about Santorum?
Santorum is excellent as well. Jindal is excellent.
Who's not?
Who's not? Ah, yes, the Rhodes Gallery. No, not well, Rand Paul's libertarian, so I'm going to shelve him for a second. But people who have come out and been absolutely squishy and wishy-washy concerning same-sex marriage include Chris Christie, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, who everybody loves all of a sudden,
right.
And shouldn't,
yeah.
And Mike Pence of Indiana. Chris Christie has said that it's a settled issue, and so you just gotta go along to get along. Chris Christie also, in New Jersey, has prohibited Christian counselors from saying anything negative about homosexuality in any counseling sessions that they have with youth. So Chris Christie is violating freedom of speech and freedom of religion in New Jersey. So don't buy his story when he tells you that he's a conservative. Jeb Bush, the same way. Bush is saying that, oh, we live in a democracy, and regardless of our disagreements, we have to respect the law. No, he's wrong, because it's lawlessness in Florida. It's not law. It's lawlessness. Scott Walker up in Wisconsin, he said, for us, it's over in Wisconsin, talking about the fight against same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Mike Pence said the same thing in Indiana. These are not people that are worthy of conservative support when they're that squishy and wishy-washy on this.
I want to bring Nostradamus in on this because he has a case that proves that it's hardly anything but over. Nostradamus, how you doing this evening over there at headquarters?
I am well, you guys. And, you know, you were talking about it's not in the Constitution that two same-sex people can't get married. Steve, what about that thing right in the front where it says life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? They're just trying to pursue their happiness.
Well, wonderful. They can pursue their happiness, but that doesn't give them a right to same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
Isn't that all pedophiles are doing, too?
They're just pursuing happiness. That's all.
Just like the pygmies that were cannibals over there in Indonesia or somewhere. They were just pursuing their happiness, right?
Maybe they'll be at the Supreme Court soon, too.
Just try to tell that to Amelia Earhart, right?
Yeah.
Nostradamus, tell us about that case in Alabama, please, sir.
Yeah, if you're familiar with the name Justice Roy Moore, he is the Supreme Court Chief Justice in Alabama. He is basically the Sheriff Joe Arpaio of Chief Justices. He is the one, excuse me, there's a helicopter going by the veranda out here.
Hey, duck behind that garage so they can't see you.
Okay, I'm underneath a balcony. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Supreme Court Chief Justice Roy Moore has released a letter to his governor, Robert Bentley, saying that he intends to continue to recognize the state's constitutional ban on same-sex marriage and urging the governor to do so. Moore wrote, as Chief Justice, I will continue to recognize the Constitution of the state and the will of the people overwhelmingly expressed in the Sanctity of Marriage Amendment. I ask you to continue to uphold the Constitution with respect for marriage, both for the welfare of the state and for our posterity. And this sounds as if no matter what the Supreme Court rules, Alabama is not going to be the place to go and get married to a same-sex partner.
Hey, amen, Roy Moore. Roy Moore is a friend of Liberty Counsel. We have defended him. You remember, he was the one that was involved in protecting the Ten Commandments display at the court in Alabama. He's spoken at many of our events, and he's right, because we need judges and justices like Roy Moore all across this nation, in state courts and federal courts. And frankly, we need presidential candidates that have the same backbone as Judge Roy Moore as well. And he's right on target.
Well, let me ask Nostradamus, you or Steve, if Dennis doesn't know the answer, is he backed by the rest of the members of that Supreme Court, the Alabama Supreme Court?
I don't know the answer to
that. Do you know, Nostradamus?
No, I don't know. But as a Chief Justice, basically, he issues those rulings. I do not believe those kind of rulings are up for a majority vote.
Well, it depends. If they have any cases before them. But is he issuing this letter to the governor because he's afraid the governor is getting wishy-washy?
That's what it looks like to me. What's your take on it?
I would assume yes, because what you see happening in lots of different states is you'll have the governor or the state attorney general who will not defend any sort of a state marriage amendment such as we have in Florida. In North Carolina, that's an egregious example where the attorney general in North Carolina just said, I'm not going to defend the North Carolina marriage amendment that defines marriage as one man, one woman. And so, you know, this may be Roy Moore's way of basically alerting the governor and even the attorney general in Alabama that he's watching them, that he's being vigilant.
Now, Steve, how does the Supremacy Clause in the U.S. Constitution play into this?
It doesn't. Well, there are no federal issues at play here. This is a state issue. It's a state's rights issue.
In other words, if there were something in the Constitution that addressed this issue, it would take supremacy. But what Steve is saying is that there is not.
There's nothing in the Constitution allowing for any sort of right to same-sex marriage, period. All this is, look at all we're seeing, whether we're talking about Florida or Alabama or Michigan or any place else, is liberal activist judges at the state level and federal level basically saying, we don't care what the people of a certain state have said. Florida, I'm going to use Florida as an example. You have different justices and different county courts throughout this state who have basically said, I don't care that 5 million Floridians voted in 2008, an amendment that was authored by Matt and Anita Staver of Liberty Council, defining marriage as one man, one woman in Florida. I'm taking those 5,000 votes, 62% of all voting Floridians, I'm crumpling them up and throwing them in the trash can because my single liberal opinion is more important than the opinions of 5 million Floridians. You're seeing that in Florida and all across this nation. And that's the issue right now. This is liberal judicial activism is all this is. This is the politicization of the courts, where justices are basically allowing their political opinions to rule the day. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I studied a little bit of constitutional law when I was going to UCF, and politics infringing on the justices' opinions is nothing new.
Correct.
I mean, they are human beings after all. Nostradamus, you have a story of another institution that is grappling, if you will, with this same issue, the Mormon Church.
And the Mormon Church is in a precarious position because they are a church of people who believe in Jesus Christ and the Bible, as well as some other books.
Yeah.
They are also a church that historically has had men with more than one wife, and that goes right against the one man, one woman. So Mormon leaders are trying to kind of slide their church's position on gay issues in general over to the left. They stage a news conference in Salt Lake City to promote that announcement, breaking into their own radio and TV broadcast to carry it. They want to say that there should be some legal anti-discrimination protections for LGBT people, as long as the religious freedom of those who oppose gay equality is taken into account. Don't know what really that means, though.
Do you see the Supreme Court trying to split hairs the same way, Steve?
They could, but it's a non-issue. Look, there already are protections for homosexuals in terms of you can't discriminate against them civilly in housing, employment, etc. And so what, the Mormon Church is trying to do is they're trying to say that they're trying to appease in some certain way certain, so that there's no discrimination against homosexuals, but it's already out there. It's like I don't understand quite why they even issued this, because they're trying to say that at the same
time they want
the same-sex community to respect religious rights, which they are not doing whatsoever and won't do.
Well, I think, institutions like the Catholic Church, Nostradamus, hasn't the Pope also issued some ambiguous words about this?
Well, he put out a phrase that a lot of people who are in favor of gay rights latched onto, which is, if a homosexual professes that this is who they are, quote, who am I to judge? Unquote. And this is true because only God can judge each individual's sin.
No, but that's not true. That's not true because it's very common for people to look at Matthew 7 in the Bible and say, the Bible says, judge not that you be not judged. But then Jesus tells us very specifically in John 7:24 to judge righteously. God gives us wisdom and discernment. He has given us his book. The entire Bible is God breathed. And it is clear that homosexual conduct is a sin. God has said so. So we're not to judge in a self-righteous way. You're absolutely right in that regard, Nostradamus. But we are to judge according to what it says in the Bible. Jesus says that we can judge righteously, but not self-righteously.
Yeah, we want to judge the sin, but still love the sinner.
Correct.
And hope that they will come to the proper path. Mm-hmm. Would that be a fair way to put it, Nostradamus?
I think so. I think there is a fine distinction between discernment and judgment. Discernment is knowing this is right, this is wrong, where judgment is confronting someone saying, you are right, you are wrong.
So judgment, you're saying, carries the element of condemnation with it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Or, or at least a moral ruling. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, we're going to go ahead and take another break. When we come back, we'll have more from the whole round table here. So please don't go away. You are listening to the American Adversaries. And don't forget to put March the 14th, that's a Saturday, on your calendar to go to the Awakening 2015, Rebuilding the Wall. And you want to get your tickets at lc.org. They're only $20. They're going fast, so scoop them up while you have a chance. That's lc.org.
You know, it's that funny thing about reality, gentlemen. There's always that line that you have to cross. And it's always a line. We'll be right back.
That's right, folks. We're back, and we're the American Adversaries, and we're standing here watching Mary Lee, a vacation travel planner. She's boogieing down. It's a little Aerosmith. She's heading out on a cruise. In just a minute, I'll give her to get us the latest on the cruises. But we got Aubrey Kahn, Firm Foundation Home Inspections, in the studio. Steve Gushov of Liberty Council. Tell us once again, real quick, Steve, about The Awakening.
The Awakening, 2015, Rebuilding the Wall, March 14th, 2015, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Faith Assembly, 9307 Curry Ford Road in Orlando. Governor Mike Huckabee will be there live. Senator Rick Santorum will be there live. Matt Staver, the founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Pastor James Robison, Kamal Saleem, Frank Gaffney, and many, many others. Go to lc.org, lc.org, to sign up. Get your tickets ASAP.
And I'll be there, and I'm sure Carl and his gang will be there. Nostradamus, you going to try to be there?
I am going to sure try to be there. And listeners, just go to our Facebook page on American Adversaries. And there is a link to lc.org there. You can follow it. There.
You're the man. I was just telling Steve we were going to do that, and you've already done it.
Thank
Look
you.
At you.
Been
Look
there,
at,
done that.
I tell you what. Aubrey, you going to try to be there?
Yeah, I'm going to be a sponsor.
There you
I didn't like
Thank
that.
You.
There you go, Aubrey Kahn. Dennis, I know you got some other stuff, and we'll put that on Facebook. I know you've already done that, but did you want to take a minute to say a few words about Kit Carson? You know, he passed away. Rush was talking about that on his show the other day, and I know you worked with him in New York.
Yeah, Christopher Kit Carson was Rush's producer for, I did not realize this, over a quarter of a century, 26 years they worked together. I was with him up in New York for only his first couple of years, from 91 through 93, I worked across the hall from him. And Kit was described by some of the pundits on the Talking Head shows as the man with the biggest Rolodex in America, because unlike me, who books guests for the show, he really never had to book any guests for Rush. Basically, when there was a guest on Rush's show, Rush made the phone call and said, "Hello, Mr. President, can you be on Tuesday?" And that's about it when it came to his guests. But in order to prepare for all of Rush's shows, Kit was his contact. He was his go-between. He was the guy who basically set up scheduling for Rush for just about everything he did. He fought a long battle with cancer. It ended earlier this week, and he's going to be sorely missed by Rush, his staff, and by all of his listeners.
How old was he, Dennis?
58.
He was 58, just a few years older than me.
Yeah. Well, certainly our condolences go out to his family and friends and the whole crew at Rush Bowe's show.
Yeah, he leaves behind a wife and two teenage sons.
Yeah, yeah. So, folks, take every day and make the most you can of it.
Yeah.
Nostradamus, real quick, just what else you got at Facebook?
On Facebook, we got a couple other stories. Let's see if we can pull them up. Bo Bergdahl is going to be charged with desertion. The White House, unfortunately, is dragging its feet on it. Climate change is real. Climate change is coming. How will your country fare? I know, Chris, you like polls. I like color-coded graphs. And if you click on the link there at our Facebook page, you'll see some color-coded graphs that'll show you which countries are going to do the best if climate change leads to global warming. The U.S. is one of the ones that will do well. Most of Africa, not so much.
All right. Thanks so much, Nostradamus. You the man, and I hope you're with me 26 to 27 years. I really appreciate you.
From your mouth to God's ears.
Amen. All right. Mary Lee, Vacation Travel Planners. By the way, folks, you can go to vacationtravelplanners.com and see the whole lineup of all great stuff. What's the latest big deal? I know you're going on a cruise this weekend, right?
Yes, I am.
Get right up to that mic. Where are you going?
I'm going to the Bahamas.
Look out. How much is it costing you? Nothing?
Nothing.
How much would it cost me if I wanted to take a weekend vacation to the Bahamas?
Probably, if you're going like right now, It would be like about like $149 per person.
$150.
Yeah.
Per person.
Yeah,
that's criminal. That you could go on such a great vacation for so cheap. That's such a great deal, though.
It is. How can you stay home? You know, I mean, get out of the snow, get out of the cold weather, and go where it's warm. You don't have to cook or nothing.
Aubrey, you ever been on a cruise?
Many times. I love it.
You love them?
I love cruises.
What about you, Steve?
I did one of those three-hour tours up the St. John's River.
I thought you were going to say every Sunday night, listening to the American Adversaries. Vacation Travel Planners, always great deals. Go there, vacationtravelplanners.com, or give Merrily a call at 321-251-4777, 321-251-4777.
That's right. We'll be back tomorrow night, folks. Don't go away.